We've been going through Hebrews verse by verse now since the beginning of the year. I explained to you last week that the first five chapters, if you wanted a simple outline of the book, the first five chapters present the doctrine of Christ. In these last days, God has spoken to us by His Son. It's important to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The Bible says He's the express image of God. Someone says He's one of many gods. No, He is God. And He is just as much God as God can be God. In Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. A lot of the cults today, they have changed Christ into one of many gods or into a lesser God or into something else, a good person, for example. But folks, He is God. And we learn that in the first five chapters of Hebrew. Then in the chapters 6 through 10, the culmination of which is at the end of chapter 10 today, we have the doctrine of perfection. He goes in earlier chapter, he says, let us go on into the doctrine of perfection. And he teaches us, and that word perfect means to be completely sinless. Well, none of us qualify, do we? But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have perfection. That does not mean that you will achieve sinless perfection in this life, but it does mean the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. Amen? Come on, folks, get with me here. Now, we're going to look at these last few verses today, and the beginning of this concluding section of the section here is in chapter 10 and verse 19 down to the end of the chapter, and I'm going to have to skip over some things for the sake of time. It really deserves about three different messages, but we'll do that another time. I will tell you that chapter 11 is the beginning of the doctrine of faith. And it begins by teaching us what faith is, giving us examples of faith. Folks, by grace are you saved? Through faith. Now, I'm tempted to get ahead of myself. I'm going to mention one thing from chapter 11. The end of chapter 10 talks about believing to the saving of the soul. And then chapter 11 talks about what faith is. Faith is not a false claim. The Bible says, if you say you have faith and I say I have works, you show me your faith by your works. Amen? Are we saved by works? No. By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. Amen? We cannot work to be saved. The Lord Jesus Christ did the perfect work on the cross. But folks, we'll go through James someday, maybe again. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. Faith produces works. We live in a day of false advertising. I'm so tired of people lying. They lie on the TV. They lie on the internet. They lie to me in person. Someone says, oh, pastor, I love the Lord. Oh, pastor, I love the Bible. Oh, pastor, and then they go off and they don't even begin to show that with their works. Paul is addressing a group of people. If you get tired of hearing me say this, this may be the last time I say it for a while. He's addressing a group of people in Hebrews. He's addressing a group of folks who are thinking about going back. Now, I hope you would agree with me. I have nowhere to go back to. I don't have any interest in going back away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says, well, and I heard somebody do this. Somebody says to me, pastor, I'm going back to the Mormon church. What? Someone says, I'm going to go back to the Catholic church. What? We saw that last week. That's not the truth, amen? Right. Well, pastor, you're talking bad about religions. No, I'm not. I'm talking bad about people that are liars, that claim something that is not the truth. How do you know what the truth is? Brother Hickson will tell you, if I don't, it's the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us, the Bible says, thy word is truth. And when we read the Bible, we have the truth. I want to be encouraging to you today because I know almost all of you very well, and I have confidence in our visitors as well, that we do in fact not have plans to go back. And we plan to go forward with the Lord. And folks, it's not always easy. The thing in chapter 11 that keeps coming to my mind that we will see here in a couple of weeks is that the people that had faith did not accept deliverance. And I'll preach about that when I get there. But what it's talking about is they could have done some things to alleviate their suffering, or some things to make their life more easy, or more so to prevent the persecution that they were enduring. But as the Bible says of Moses, and I'm just paraphrasing it, that they thought that the riches of God were better than that. And so they didn't want to go back. They didn't want to do anything that would compromise their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if it meant they would suffer. Are you willing to suffer for the Lord? Be careful. Someone says, oh, a little bit. If I ever wrote a book, and I'm being sarcastic, so just listen to me. If I ever wrote a book, it would be 1,000 excuses for not going to church, because I've heard them all. We need to be in church. Right. Amen? Well, let's get to the passage here. We're already short on time. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I want to read Hebrews chapter 10. I want to begin in verse 19. And praise the Lord for His goodness. I'm going to read down to about verse 27, and we'll stop for a word of prayer. The Bible says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Skip down to verse 38. I want to read the last two verses in the chapter. Verse 38. He says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for the Word of God. We thank You for the folks that have assembled here today. Father, hide me behind the cross. I pray folks would hear from the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God today. And Father, I thank You. You plainly told us in Your Word, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning You. So Lord, today help us to have a thankful spirit. Help us to have a contented spirit, trusting that You have met all of our needs and promised to do so. God, our hearts are heavy for the suffering of others, many others that are suffering that we have tried to help this week. Some we've met with, some we have not, but just different people that we know need Your help right now. And Lord, You gave us this church to be a life-saving station, to get the gospel out, to care for Your people. Lord, I pray that You'd keep us able to continue to do that. And to this morning that You'd feed us from Your Word so that we'd be strengthened to do that. I do pray for those that can't be with us today. Please be a strength to them and bring them back safely. And we ask Your blessing on this time. God, please guide us. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Went to a bank one time. I was going to borrow some money to buy a car. And it was kind of convenient. My boss was on the bank board. And so they knew me, they knew him, and they gave me a piece of paper to fill out, and they said, we want to know what you have. What are your assets? I was a college student. I didn't have assets. I had debts. But they said, what do you have? And so I listed my $100 or whatever in my bank account, and, you know, I didn't have anything. They gave me the loan anyway because my boss was on the bank board, so that kind of helped out a whole lot. But if I was to ask you this morning to take a spiritual inventory of what do you have, what would you put down on that paper? You know, the first thing that pops into my mind, and it goes right along with what he's saying here. Look at verse 19. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, he says, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God. And we'll stop right there for a minute. What Paul is reminding these folks of, and what I would like to remind you of, is, folks, when you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything you need. Amen. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, you'll see the argument building. It's been building for chapters, but Paul's argument is, what are you going to go back from? Consider what you're walking away from when you do that. I quote for you often Hebrews 4:16. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. The Bible tells us when we pray, we're praying to our Father in heaven. The things that you and I have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the relationship that we have with Him, the Holy Spirit He's given us, the eternal life that He has given us, the salvation, the payment for our sins, the promises in the Bible. Folks, those are not things to walk away from. They're things to cling to. Amen? I was going to go visit a fellow in the hospital one time. The fellow had a bacterial meningitis. And someone told me, Pastor, you don't want to go visit this man. You might get sick. Well, when you get to the hospital, they put a mask on you and they make you wash your hands and those kind of things. But quite honestly, if the Lord wants me to go visit somebody, I think He'll take care of us. Amen? Amen. I've told you this story. Some of you have or haven't heard it. Maybe I was in Mexico with a fellow and we were knocking doors in Mexico down near Monterey. And a man came out of his house and he brought us two glasses of water. I know where he got that water because I looked in the door and I saw in the house he had a 55-gallon drum with a water hose sticking in it, and that was his water supply. I have no idea what lives in that barrel, but it can't be good. And he brought me that glass of water, and I thought to myself, I've got to drink this water. This man has been so gracious to give me this glass of water. And you know what? I didn't get sick. Maybe I've just got an iron stomach. I don't know. I think the Lord takes care of us. Amen? He says there in verse 19, boldness, having boldness to enter into the holiest. He says in verse 21, having an high priest over the house of God. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ is my high priest. I don't need a Catholic priest or a Lutheran one or any other. The Lord Jesus Christ is my high priest. Amen? He's yours too if you're saved. What are you going to go back to? Now, if you weren't here last Sunday, you're going to feel like I'm picking on the Catholic Church. And I don't often do this, but I just got to remind you of something. Folks, the truth is the truth. And if someone believes the Bible, I'm on their team. If someone tells me that the Bible is wrong and tries to change it, we got a problem. Folks, we have boldness because we can trust what God said. Think of all the things you have. Would you like to give those up? Do you see what he's doing here? When he comes down to verse 39, he makes it very clear. He says, we're not of them that draw back unto perdition. When you don't understand that word, perdition, you maybe don't hear it a whole lot. It's the word destruction. We're not those that are going to turn back to the destruction we used to live in. I like what, was it Peter that said, Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of life. There's nowhere else to go, amen? We're not going to draw back. I hope I'm preaching to the choir. You're not going to draw back, amen? Think of the things that we have. Then he goes on in verse 22. And three times he says, let us. I kind of like that word us because Paul, as the Holy Spirit has moved him to write this, is reminding me of something. I have fellowship with the saints. I am in the same camp as Paul the Apostle. Amen? I have the same Savior. I have the same Bible. I have hopefully the same faith. I don't have the same experiences. Look what Paul went through. In fact, if we had time, we'd look at all the details here because he mentions that when you get down to verse 32, the things they had been through. But he says, let us. We're part of God's people. We can't leave that. He says, let us. And then he mentions three things. Draw near, he says in verse 22. He says in verse 23, hold fast. And he says in verse 24, considering one another. Now let's just park there for a little bit. We've talked about the things that we have. Now there are some things that he's telling us we need to do. This is hopefully not going to be hard to explain, but Lord enabling me, I'll make it as clear as I can. Just start with this thought. Do you understand that you are affecting the people around you either one way or the other? If you are faithful, it affects them to be faithful. Amen? I would name people in the congregation, and I could name people in the congregation that I know are faithful, and they encourage me to be faithful. There are people in this church, and if you came here on Sunday morning and they weren't here, you would come to me and you'd say, Pastor, where is? Because they're faithful, amen? Folks, that should be true about all of us. When I stand up in the pulpit and God's people have assembled, that's an encouragement to me. If I was mean, I would just not show up some Sunday and see how you feel. Because that's what happens when you don't show up, is other folks go, why aren't they here? Say, Pastor, I can't be faithful. I told a pastor that one time, and God called me into the ministry to prove otherwise. And he still tells that story. He told it last month in Salt Lake City. He came to my house and visited me, and I was backslidden as all get out. And my wife had just gotten saved. And this pastor told me, he just invited us to the church. And I said, I just want you to know something, Pastor. I cannot be faithful to church. I just can't. Well, God thought differently, I guess. Well, let's keep this guy in church. We'll make him a pastor. I don't know. Folks, please be faithful. What is faithful? You know, the best example of faithful, and I can't get into the nuances of it, but I think of my teeth. Don't you like to have faithful teeth? Would you like to have faithful limbs? There are some folks in our church right now whose knees are not being faithful to them, or feet perhaps. I went to the dentist last week, and the dentist says, yeah, you got this tooth. Brother Greg knows about that. Don't you like faithful teeth, Brother Greg? You know what? The Lord loves faithful Christians. They're always there. Say, Pastor, I couldn't do that. I think God could make you that way if you'd let him. Amen? Now, let's put this in the context. He says, let's not draw back. Let's draw near. Let me ask it this way. If you really wanted to be faithful, do you think God would enable that? Do you? Amen? Well, the devil's not going to help you with that. He's going to fight you. But God can enable you to be faithful. On Tuesday nights when we have soul winning, there are some people that I know, they will always be here. They're faithful. So, Pastor, they're better than I am. No, they're not. No, they're not. They just made a decision and God reinforced it. Say, Pastor, I'd be afraid to come out on visitation. Come out. It's not so bad. I think last Tuesday night, Brother Greg and his wife got a meal out of it. By the way, if I come visit your house, I don't expect a meal, but God can be a blessing. Let us draw near because, he says in verse 25, or verse 24, we should consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And you say, Pastor, this can't be me. No, you as a born-again Christian, God wants you to, he uses a strong word, to provoke those around you to love the Lord and do good works. Now, this is going to get a little tough. Hang in here. I need you to ask yourself the question, are you doing that? Are you doing that? When folks look at you, do they see someone that's faithful? And it causes them to realize their need to be faithful? Or, I hate to even say it, but I've got to, are you one of those people that's always got an excuse? Well, Pastor, I can't because. Well, Pastor, I can't because. Well, Pastor, I can't because. I love you in the Lord, amen? I'm not trying to pick on you. We are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ one day, And he can see through excuses even much better than I can. And when you stand before him and you try to lay the excuse out as to why you couldn't be faithful, what's going to be the answer? You know, the Lord Jesus Christ could have given many reasons he shouldn't have died on the cross for us, but he loved us and died for us. Amen? And after all he's done for me, the least I can do is be faithful to him. And when I am faithful to him, it affects those around me. When I love him, it affects those around me. And for that, I say, Lord, please let me love you more so I can affect those around me better. Amen? And we've all got room to grow there, the best of us even. So there's this asset, this things that we have. And then there's this need to respond because of that. And in verse 25, and this is probably a verse you've quoted folks a whole lot. I have as well. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And again, when you forsake the assembly, you do not encourage others, you do not exhort them, you do not provoke them to love and good works. But when you forsake the assembling, you discourage other folks. When people quit, other people ask the question, maybe I should quit too. I've seen it happen. I've seen good people. Sadly, I've seen new Christians that got saved. And isn't it great when you first got saved, you were excited and you just couldn't, you just thought the life was going to be perfect and you couldn't wait to tell folks about the Lord. And you started going to church and there was somebody in the church that had been there for 30 years and you just kind of latch on to them and watch them. And then they didn't come to church. And then they didn't go on visitation. And then they didn't participate in the ministries of the church. And they just kind of stood back and watched everything. And you thought, wait a minute. I thought when you got saved, God changed you. And here's this person that's been saved for 30 years. And why are they like that? And you start asking those questions. Well, they shouldn't be like that. Amen? And folks, at the end of the day, let me give you some help. As much as we have a tendency to watch one another, let's take our eyes off of each other and look at the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right. Amen.
He's faithful. Amen? And then be the best, most faithful, most loyal Christian you can, because folks are watching you. And remind them to watch the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Amen? Not forsaking it. When you quit going to church, it doesn't help anybody, including you. And why would somebody quit going to church? Because they decided to go back somehow. They decided to go back. It gets a little harder before it gets easier. Look at verse 26. He says, if we sin willfully. Now, he has talked about what we have in verses 19, 20, and 21. He's talked about how we ought to respond to that in verses 22, 23, and 24. And then he fades into or transitions into a time of warning. And it is a serious warning. He says in verse 26, if we sin willfully. Now, just before I go on, everyone likes to take that phrase sin willfully and make it mean what they want it to mean. Well, it's not talking about my sin. Someone says it's talking about another sin. I just want to ask you the question. What does the words sin willfully, what does that mean? When you decide to sin. Amen? Now, I will agree with you. He's referring to the sin of forsaking the assembly of yourselves together. He's referring to the sin of drawing back. But try to stand before the Lord one day and explain to him why it was okay for you to sin willfully and not somebody else. Amen? I'm trying to get there. Just be patient. It gets good in a minute. If we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Well, I got a lot to say about that. I don't have time, but I'll remind you of one thing. Folks, when you're saved, you're saved. If God gave you eternal life, if God gave you everlasting life and it lasted 6 months, it wasn't very everlasting, was it? We're not saved by works, we're saved by faith. Read the verse again. If we sin willfully, he says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. Folks, Christ died for your sins. There's no new sacrifice. Context, he's talking to the Jews. They're going to go back to the old ways. They've got him a priest, like I told you about last week. They've got sacrifices that they do all the time. Oh, if I sin, I can go to my priest, my human priest, and he'll offer a sacrifice for me. That's not the way it works anymore. Christ died once. We spent a whole lot of time on that last week. There is no place you can go except the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Verse 27, but, and just read the words, a certain, fearful, looking for, of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. A certain, fearful, looking for, of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. First of all, you know the truth of that verse because when you have sinned, you have thought to yourself, God ought to judge me. Right? And you were looking for that judgment. But folks, if you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says very plainly, if we sin, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But the Bible also says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen? And there is a forgiveness available to Christians. I don't want to walk away from that. I'm not going back to some earthly priest that says he can turn their bread and wine into the literal body and blood of Christ and sacrifice him again, which goes against everything we learned in the first half of chapter 10. No. I'm going back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm going to throw a word out. You probably don't know what it means. It's called antinomianism. There are people that believe you can live the way you want because after all your sins are paid for. That's wicked. No. How can we that are dead in trespasses and sins live any longer therein? You want to try it? You'll see the kind of suffering I saw yesterday. And if you think you can live wicked and get away with it, you are mistaken. Saved or lost. But Christ did die for your sins. Amen? And don't let go of that confidence. I'm going to run out of time here. Let me finish up as well as I can. He uses an example of those that despise Moses' law. He goes on and he says that we would deserve much sorer punishment because they were walking away from the law. But what if somebody was to walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ? I shudder to think anybody could do that. And I've heard people tell me all sorts of stories about how much they love the Lord and then do it anyway. Folks, that is so sad. If you can really walk away from him, you never really knew him. I'm not talking about the pea and the tulip. I'm talking about just plain old Bible. That if you love him and you know who he is, I can't comprehend how you could walk away from him. You can backslide and you can get yourself in trouble. But I have heard Christians that were suffering horribly because of their sins turn and ask the Lord Jesus Christ for help. I don't know how anybody could turn their back on him. And he won't turn his back on you, by the way. Now, like I said, there's two messages here. We've looked at kind of the first half, but I do want to just tighten it all up here and then we'll be done. What do you have? You have confidence. You have boldness. You have a high priest. You have the blood of Christ, the promises of God. What we ought to do because of that is to draw near, not to forsake. And there's a warning if we don't do that. If we sin willfully, there's a certain fearful looking for of judgment. And we deserve that punishment in verse 29. He is a God of vengeance in verse 30. And then he summarizes that little section by saying in verse 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm going to skip over verses 32, 33, and 34, but just to explain them to you, he's simply describing the investment that they have already made in their faith. They've already suffered for the Lord. If you don't hear anything else I say today or don't remember anything else, please remember this. Sometimes God asks us to suffer as Christians. Sometimes God asks us to suffer. Amen? We're suffering for him. And I'm going to understand why. Read 1 Peter for more details there. I may not understand why he asked me to suffer, but God enabling me, I will endure it for him because he knows what's best. There is an end to suffering, folks. Some folks suffer more than others, but in all cases, if you're a Christian, there's an end. And I can tell you, when you stand before him in heaven one day and you look back at your life and you see those periods of suffering, you will understand Jesus knew what was best for you. There are people suffering today, and we need to pray for them, but the Lord knows what's best for them. I don't doubt God's care for his children, do you? That includes me as well. I don't doubt his care for me, and I don't doubt his care for you. But sometimes he asks us to suffer. And when he does, we endure it patiently. We'll preach through 1 Peter sometime and see some of that. So they have had an investment already. They have suffered. They've been persecuted. They have been a friend to Paul. And now we come to the conclusion of the matter. It's a final charge. It's a command. It's an encouraging thing. It's sort of like when the general, he briefs the troops and he says, now go get them. Now it's time to go fight. Now it's time to get out there and do what you were trained to do. And that's what we see here in verse 35. He says, cast not away therefore. And the therefore is just pointing back to what I've shown you in verses 19 through 34 and even before that. Cast not away therefore your, what's that word? Confidence. Are you confident in the Lord? Are you confident in your salvation? Are you confident in his promises? Are you confident in his will? You say, Pastor, I don't understand. Neither do I. But are you confident in him? Amen? Don't throw that away. Someone says, Pastor, I just don't trust the Lord. Oh, please trust the Lord. There's nowhere else to turn. You can't find anyone else trustworthy. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Now watch this. This is good. Which hath great recompense of reward. Do you know what that word recompense means? It means to pay somebody for what they've done. If you've been asked to endure persecution, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, if you're persecuted for the cause of Christ, you should leap, for great is your reward in heaven. Say, Pastor, I'm suffering. There will be recompense. Amen? There will be a reward. Say, Pastor, this is hard. What I'm doing is hard, and it's been hard, and it's going to be hard in the future. Praise the Lord, God's going to reward you for that. And then praise the Lord, how can you even get over? You're going to be able to take those crowns and lay them at his feet and say, Lord Jesus, I did this for you. Now, by now, how can anybody walk back? You don't want the crowns to lay at his feet. You don't love him enough to suffer for him. You don't trust him enough to go through what he's asking you to go through. No, all of this comes perfectly together here. And he says in verse 36, we don't like this, but here it is. Ye have need of patience. I hate waiting. That's why they call you a patient when you go to the doctor, because you got to be patient. He'll see you later. Patience. We have to wait for the Lord. Amen. Pastor, if I was in charge, I'd have had it all fixed by now. Well, it's a good thing you're not in charge. Amen. The Lord's in charge. Pastor, I don't think the suffering should go on any further. You're not the Lord. Have patience. Pastor, I expected to see fruit by now. You have to wait. Have patience. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. Don't throw you need patience. After ye have done the will of God, that ye might receive the promise. Don't misunderstand that word might right there. In the context, what it's saying is, once you've done what God asks you to do, he'll reward you. Amen? And then we come back to where we started, and I just got to finish for the sake of time. He says, yet a little while, and he that shall come and will not tarry. He's coming back. Every time I see these flurries of troubles, I think maybe the Lord's coming back. Wouldn't it be interesting if the Lord delivered you from your trial by taking you home to be with him? As we speak, Dan Ball... This morning, Dan Ball's in the hospital. He's very sick. And wouldn't it be great if the Lord came and just took him home? He's going to go home one way or the other, amen? But I'd like to go with him. I'm ready. The Lord could deliver him that way. He could deliver all of us that way. Now, verse 38, the just shall live by faith. If you ever said, Pastor, I can't see it, good. That means it's faith. Pastor, I don't understand. Well, then you just have to trust the Lord. That's faith. Amen? Folks, you got to have faith in the Lord. And if you don't have faith in him, where are you going to go? To the priest that doesn't know the Bible? To the person that doesn't know who Jesus is? To the person that thinks they can work their way to heaven? Or a lot of folks just go nowhere and just wander around in life? Oh, no, please. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, and that's been the context all along, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And now the happy part. We are not of them who draw back. unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If that's you, say amen.
Amen.
We're not that kind of person. It's not reasonable to draw back. There's nothing to go back to. And I'm not going to do that. Praise by God's grace. Amen?
Amen.
We're not, that's not how God made us. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved your soul, you heard about this in Sunday school a little bit. He gave you the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit came and dwelt in you. Now, does that mean you can never sin? No. Does that mean you can never doubt? No. Does that mean you can never be discouraged? No. But the Holy Spirit is always going to be there, tugging you this away. Let's go with the Lord. Don't cast away your confidence. Let's stay with God. Let's keep trusting Him. Let's have faith in Him. Let's do what He asks us to do. So I can confidently say the person that's willing to turn their back on Christ and go back to the false religion and the false ideas or the nothingness or the world or Egypt or whatever you want to call it, I have a real hard time believing they ever knew the Lord. I'm not going to judge them. The Lord will do that. But that's not really my problem. I'm going to stay over here. Amen? Amen. We're going to stay with the Lord. He's the one that perfected us, not that false religion. He's the one that made the promises to us, not some earthly priest. He's the one I have confidence in. And I don't even know where I'd go. So I'm just going to stay where it's best. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.